This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, is produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and what a program we have for you here on a Friday. It's basically game day. We are going to wrap up Thursday night football. We had a good night, so the winning has been, I mean, we pretty much called our shot. We're going to take a bunch of unders in November, and then we're going to go back to the overs and do well, and that's exactly what is happening. So we'll break that down. We'll check in with our guy, Ben Stevens, from right here on VSiN. We'll check in on some college football playoff future bets. We'll also check in with our guy Jake Tribby of FantasyPoints.com to see what he has cooking for week 15 in DFS. And of course, I will pop out my favorite plays for this weekend. And I got to tell you here, I am feeling these picks. I've got a couple of unders as well. We got 10 picks and two unders. I also have four touchdown props that I will pop out. But let's take a look at everything that happened last night. I'll start with the negative. I did rank it at the bottom, but boy, the Kyle Pitts call, I feel pressured, not pressured, but I feel compelled to take unders. And I thought, well, I don't trust it. He's going to be something of a marked man, but no, they let him run wild. And I saw the interview with Todd Bowles at the half, and he said, and I quote, I think it's, well, I'm going to paraphrase, let's say that. I think it's time to start doubling him. Todd, the time to start doubling him was when the clock started ticking, dude. You let this dude run wild, 11 grabs for 166. And three touchdowns. They could not stop the man. I will say, quick story that is quite amusing. I started getting visions of Corey Dillon. And why? Well, I actually don't have the numbers in front of me, but way back in 1997, I was in the early stages of my career. I was still in my 20s, writing columns about fake football for ESPN.com, the first fantasy contributors, by the way, to the website, yours truly, and Mr. Steve Cohen. Let's give him a shout out as well, starting in 1996. But anyway, in 1997, I got this bright idea that I was going to write a column called Pigskin Prophecies. No one remembers it because it only lasted 1 year, where I was like, I'm going to pick stars who are going to struggle and strugglers who are going to star. And boy, that was a tough assignment. 1 week, I said, not going to happen for Corey Dillon. And all he did was set the National Football League record for most yards in a game. And I believe he had four touchdowns. So I almost quit. So I started getting visions of that last night. But it is one L, basically. He could have hit the prop by 1 yard, still an L. So not going to, you know, lose sleep over that one. We do go 4-2 last night, thanks to Bijan Robinson. Easy play. It's yet another early week best bet. I mean, we're like 7-0 on these puppies. Maybe even better than that over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. But that was an easy win. He gets 8 grabs for 82. I will say, and I have some people to back me up on this if anyone calls me on it, but I actually wanted to give mad love to David Sills, who I actually used to know a little bit. He came on the radio show multiple times. I interviewed him in Indy at his combine. Wilmington, Delaware guy, which was my neck of the woods. He was balling. 6 grabs for 78, and Darnell Mooney not balling as he gets 3 for 35. Now, the big story, well, first of all, I got to give a shout out. See, this is where karma comes in handy, because I've been a Rashad White guy from day one. I've met him. I actually kind of know him a little bit. Not that he knows me, but if I said, hey, Rashad, I'm the, you know, oh yeah, yeah, nicest guy ever. As I've stated, one of the least entitled athletes I've ever met. So I've given him mad love from the jump. And lo and behold, he only got one carry and he ripped off a 20-yarder and he hit the prop, baby. You got to love sports. You got to love gaming, quite frankly, when things are going your way. And then how about big Mike Evans? And, you know, oh, and Ibuka. We like the Ibuka. He came through. This is typically what happens when you get actual capable and competent offense and scoring and teams move the ball. Oh, look what happens. We win props everywhere, left and right over here. But shout out to Emeka Ibuka. He did have a little bit of a bounce back game. But how about Big Mike? I mean, unbelievable. I'm like, if you read the article I wrote, posted over on VSiN, you can see it. It's probably still there. I'm like, I don't know what the hell these people are thinking about here. I don't know what's going on with Big Mike, but all I know is this. Big Mike's a future Hall of Famer. He's coming off a broken collarbone. Either you can play or you can't. And he practiced the week before, so I understand maybe some conditioning questions, but I'm like, we got to get in on an over. Of course, I panicked during the show because the books were – it was going down. But, no, you guys were wrong. You were exactly wrong out there if you were worried about Big Mike. Unbelievable showing. He looked very good. He could have done a little bit better than this. He had a couple close calls. That one ball – I was batted early. I think it was his first target. Baker always gets the batted balls. I mean, he could have taken that to the crib. So he comes through big time. And, you know, we ranked him. I ranked him myself at like, I think it was like 18, between 15 and 20, which pretty much says you got to start this guy. By the way, not for nothing. I know I took the under on Pitts, but our guy Mike Cohen said he went up against Pitts in the playoffs and some dude benched his ass. Uh-oh. Oops. I actually did have Kyle Pitts ranked at tight end 8 for the week, even though I did take the under. I'm not that dumb. He's been balling. And, you know, big difference between prop and fantasy. He can come through with just a tutty. So there we go. We're off to a pretty good start. Oh, we forgot the biggest story of the day over here. Mike Evans, that did not come through. But, I mean, it's a good call. The guy got 12 targets and 6 grabs. But how about the Thursday night special, baby? This is what I love. I said I was the Kyle Schwarber of gambling. There you go. Sean Tucker, anytime touchdown. It's like Schwarber hitting a grand slam. Plus 550. So we bought a month's worth of action on the Thursday night special, basically, if you played that. Actually, we've hit it last 2 weeks. So we're like plus 770 over the last 8 days. Basically on the Thursday night special. So we love the specials. We'll be back on Monday with another Monday night special. Not a great game, but I'll have plenty of time to think about it. News and notes here as we have the information trickling outside on a Friday. Teams are out there right now, most of them, I would think, on the practice field. Marvin Harrison will not play. Matt LaFleur said that Josh Jacobs will be limited, so we are trending toward playing. The Jets have ruled out Mason Taylor. That's not good. And they've also ruled out Tyrod Taylor. I like to rule out the Jets for week 15. They're off the grid with this third-string quarterback. We can't go to A.D. Mitchell, Johnny Mechie, none of them. Brady Cook gets the start week 15 against the Jaguars. We do have a thought on that game, by the way. When we make a pick, I do have an over in that game. Spoiler alert, it's not a Jet. Because Jets, well, Jets gonna jet. Dolphin OC Frank Smith said that he expects Devon Achane to play in week 15 against the Steelers. And, oh, look at this. CeeDee Lamb has cleared concussion protocol and will play against the Vikings in Dallas on Sunday night. By the way, I'm glad, as a Viking apologist, I'm glad that game is in Dallas. I think McCarthy and the Vikings are better off on the road than playing in front of their home fans, who they've disappointed greatly this year. I do have a printout here while I have a moment to look at some of the critical DNPs so far this week. So let me quickly go through all of this. We do have a bunch of O-linemen here for the Cleveland Browns. So I'm not sure I'm going to be into Quinshon Judkins props. Mason Graham, that would be a problem if he is out. Dylan Sampson, though, is still out. So if he's out, that would help Judkins in general. But, man, all offensive linemen, looks like four of the five starters are banged up. Also Denzel Ward. So a lot of injured players there. Paris Johnson, tackle for Arizona. He has been a DNP thus far. Nick Chubb as well. I know Woody Marks is on the injury report, but he's looking pretty good. Kamari Lassiter, still a DNP, so we'll see what he can do today. I don't think we can expect T. Higgins. The Eagle running O-line, I was considering a Barkley prop, but Lane Johnson and Landon Dickerson, DNPs. That's not good. Let's see. What else do we have here? As we mentioned, Josh Jacobs. J.C. Horn, by the way, he is back at corner, so that, you know, that's not the greatest news over there for the New Orleans Saints. Brian Branch, DNP, that would help the LA Rams, like Devontae Adams. Sauce Gardner, DNP, certainly doesn't bode well for their defense. Elijah Arroyo, DNP, so you can consider A.J. Barner. Guyton, the left tackle for the Cowboys, we'll see about that. He's been a DNP. And of course, T.J. Watt, a DNP. Massive news for Tua Tagovailoa. We'll talk college football on the other side, but first, VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the trusted data source behind elite soccer analytics in the UK. It's data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, plus exclusive NBA player prop projections, all compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. Access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription at VSiN.com/subscribe. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday, coming at you next year to talk college football playoffs.
Prop points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Very, very, very light weekend in college football, but we still have that Army-Navy game, and I'm assuming it's still in Philadelphia. I've been stuck in many traffic jams when I lived in that area, but I know Ben Stevens of Live Bet Saturday, the co-host of the program, who's on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens, has a play or two for Army-Navy, but a little bit more of a broad convo here. Ben, how are you? Happy holidays, and let's get right into it. Your thoughts on the playoff bracket? A lot of people think Notre Dame got hosed. Do you think they should have made it over Alabama? Your thoughts on the field? Let's start there.
Very broad question there, John. A lot to dissect, but yes, I do believe Notre Dame should have been in front of Alabama based on the resume, but I'm not even so mad about the two final teams that earned those at-large spots. In Miami, finally using the head-to-head that did have to matter to jump the Fighting Irish, or Alabama not even falling a spot despite a 3-touchdown loss in the SEC championship game. John, I think we are seeing kind of the conversation around the college football playoff selection committee be that the weekly rankings have utterly no point in terms of what we are doing, because the CFP chair goes out there week after week, says asinine comment after asinine comment, puts his foot in his mouth and digs his own committee a deep, deep hole. It is actively hurting the sport. It is actively hurting the work of the college football playoff selection committee. It is the process that I have a huge issue with. To tell us for about a month and a half that Notre Dame and Miami were separated, that head-to-head result that we all saw played in an actual football game way back in week number one did not carry the day, to completely contradict themselves in the final rankings, in the final reveal that mattered the most, that is my main issue with the college football playoff.
You know, I'm fascinated by the possibility that James Madison could face Indiana, right? Isn't that how likely is that? And do you agree that Fernando Mendoza's little comments after the game were very dorkish, quite frankly? But seriously, is that how possible you think that is, Madison versus Indiana? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, not very possible whatsoever, John. Oregon, a 21.5-point favorite in the opening round. JMU would have to pull the outright upset as a 3-touchdown underdog. They then would have to beat Texas Tech and then potentially could see Indiana in the college football playoff semifinal. But the access is a possibility, so maybe the Dukes do have just an outside shot, even if it's 0.00001%. And yes, Fernando Mendoza can be a little bit quirky, but that is his personality, and he gives gem after gem as it comes to those post-game interviews.
I can tell you this, just based on at first blush, he's either going to be unbelievably great or he's going to flame out. No in between there, but we shall see. Kurt Cignetti is feeling pretty strong about himself and his vocation. Let's just say it like that. Now, Ben, in the college football playoff betting guide, you did take Oregon to make the college football semifinal at -105 and to win the national championship at +750. Obviously, that's a big payoff, but what do you see here with Oregon?
Yeah, John, I've been a big believer in the Ducks all year long. I often think Oregon does not get the credit it deserves for its physicality on the defensive side of the football. You talked about the path for JMU. Well, it's the same one for Dan Lanning's Ducks. If they beat James Madison, a 3-touchdown favorite to do that, they would take on Texas Tech in what I consider a national championship caliber type showdown between the Red Raiders and the Ducks. Oregon's defense actually ranking in front of Texas Tech when it comes to yards per game allowed this year. And yet you think of Oregon, you think of high-paced and fast-tempo offenses that can score a ton. And this Oregon offense does the same. The Ducks right now at -105 on DraftKings to reach the CFP semifinal. Texas Tech earning the opening round by a -125 price. You are basically getting the Ducks right now at a moneyline underdog number. And I'm not so sure Oregon should be booked as a moneyline underdog against any team in the country and in the college football playoffs. So if I think Oregon can get to the Final Four and maybe a rematch against Indiana, also worth a sprinkle, John, on that +750 price. Fourth best number out there right now for the Ducks to win a national championship.
Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, on the line with us here on the air on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. So give him a follow. Also in the college football playoff betting guide, you are betting Iowa to cover +6 up against Vandy in the ReliaQuest Bowl. So tell us why that game is on New Year's Eve.
A New Year's Eve staple in Tampa, Florida. Yeah, there is so much great information in the college football playoff betting guide that is now available. Make sure you check it out. Obviously, not just myself, but all the insight across the VSiN network. And John, this is a rarity when it comes to bowl season in 2025 in the current climate of college football. We have two very veteran quarterbacks in Vandy's Diego Pavia, a Heisman Trophy finalist, Iowa's Mark Gronowski, who are probably each going to play in this game. We have some credence to what the rosters are going to look like even about 2.5 weeks from now. And if we are having basically a full strength versus full strength bowl game between the Doors and the Hawks, I'm going to trust Iowa to keep this game within the number. 4 losses for Iowa this year by a combined 15 points. None of those 4 L's by more than 5 points in any of those individual matchups. And John, as an underdog in their 3 Big Ten games, booked as a dog this year, a perfect 3-0 against the spread. I would not be surprised to see Iowa knock off Vanderbilt outright, despite Vandy maybe being a little bit spurned for missing out on the college football playoff. I think it's going to be a great game, and I'll trust that Hawkeyes defense to keep this game close.
That's right. They moved the Army-Navy game outside of Philadelphia. That's got to be somewhat recent, because I recall being in a traffic jam near Lincoln Financial Field maybe 3 years ago, but maybe you can correct me on that. But that is the only game on the board tomorrow. So I know you have a couple of props for that game. So let's start with the Navy receiver, Heidenreich. You like 46 plus receiving yards.
Yeah, John, they have moved the Army-Navy game around a little bit in the last 5 to 7 years in various other areas, Landover, Maryland, still in Philly occasionally, and in Baltimore, the home of the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium for the first time since 2016 in the 126th all-time meeting between Army and Navy. Eli Heidenreich for the Naval Academy, just the second Navy player in the history of their football program to accumulate at least 800 receiving yards in a single season. Only needs 14 to become the all-time leader in terms of receiving yards in a single season for the midshipmen. And when you look at Blake Horvath, a generational quarterback for the Naval Academy, he has thrown for at least 100 passing yards in 6 of the 9 FBS games he has played in this year for Navy. In the last 4, John, when he has thrown for 100, his top target in Eli Heidenreich has had at least 64 receiving yards. So 46-plus receiving yards for Eli Heidenreich in the Army-Navy game tomorrow against the Cadets.
And then also, you like an anytime touchdown. I'm sure I'm going to butcher the name. Alex, let's just go with Tessa. I mean, I don't know. How do you pronounce that name?
Close. Teska. You had the test right, which Teska was a pretty good job right there. Alex Teska, two-hit pater, John, at minus 140. Might seem a little bit priced for an anytime touchdown prop, but he's got 4 total TDs in the last 2 games. The only reason this is minus 140 and perhaps not minus 340 is because it's Army-Navy, and the total is 38 points. But I do believe Navy is going to win the game. I believe the midshipmen are going to do the lion's share of the scoring, and I think Alex Teska can get in the end zone at a minus 140 number. You got to have some bets for the 126th all-time meeting between the Black Knights and the midshipmen. John, Army-Navy, that's where it still is. Some tradition and history in college football.
Hey, you know, many times I'm watching these really bad NFL games, not lately, but over the course of the last couple of years. And I'm like, thank God for gambling. Thank God for gaming activity. And thank God for Ben Scott Stevens. He's on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday. I'm sure we'll have a few more weeks to chop it up with you about the upcoming football games. Good luck with the plays for Army-Navy, Ben, and we'll talk to you down the line. And when we return here for the program, we'll talk DFS for Week 15 with Jake Tribby. But first, the college football playoff push kickoff. Actually, the college football playoffs kick off on Friday, next Friday, and VSiN's got the guide you need to bet the postseason with confidence. The college football betting guide is out now, features full previews of every first-round game, college football overview and insider breakdowns, best bets, custom brackets from VSiN experts, and more. You can buy the guide right now for $14.99 or upgrade to VSiN Pro and get the guide included, plus free access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and more. Get your guide now at vsin.com/CFP. That's vsin.com/CFP. Jake Tribby with Week 15 DFS next here on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, going directly right back to the Progressive Guest Line for Jake Tribby, NFL, DFL, or DFS, UFL. You know, you name it. If there's a football league, he's covering it. Staff writer over at Fantasy Points on the X Machine at Jake Tribby, ready to pop out some Week 15 DFS recos. And I always love it when one player on your list, Jake, is already on my prop list, which I will pop out in the next segment. But how are you, sir? Ready to rock and roll, I assume?
Yeah, doing really well. Excited for a Week 15 slate that features no buys. Got a jam-packed 13-game slate. Should be a lot of fun.
And we're off to a pretty good start in Week 15. Maybe not if you're a Tampa Bay Buck fan, but we got a lot of forward passing last night. So we love that. So let's start with Recco number one at 7,500 on DraftKings. Mr. Josh Allen, he's always pricey. What do you see here up against New England? Maybe Josh Allen uses his legs a little bit more. I'm no longer playing Josh Allen over rushing props because it's completely hit or miss. But what do you see with Josh?
Yeah, so the Bills are still alive for a division title, but they need to win this week against New England. This is also the third highest total game of the main slate, and that really adds up to sort of the perfect Superman spot for Josh Allen. He averages 28.4 DraftKings fantasy points per game across his career in games with a total of 48 or higher and a spread within 5 points. He's played in 32 such games, and the crazy part, John, is that he scored over 39 DraftKings points in 9 of those contests. So that's a 28% hit rate. And I can guarantee you, John, Josh Allen is not going to be 28% owned this week. In fact, he's only projecting for about 4 or 5% ownership right now, which I think is a huge mistake by the field.
Wow. By the way, per sources, Josh Allen's Superman cape, he took it to the cleaners this week. So I think he's going to pop that out. So just FYI, it's nice and clean, ready to go. Next up, how about Saquon Barkley showing massive signs of life last week? I've actually been saying to trade for Barkley despite their struggles, and it's all about the opponents. And this one here up against the Raiders, they've been decent against the run, but they're slipping, and they also are terrible. So I would think Barkley will get some volume. What do you see here with Saquon?
Yeah, we have an absolutely massive spread in this game. Eagles are 12.5-point favorites. They should be able to lean pretty heavily into the run against a Raiders defense that you said has been slipping lately. League's third softest schedule-adjusted matchup for opposing running backs since Week 11. They've also allowed 31.3 fantasy points per game to opposing backfields over just the last 3 weeks. And Barkley just isn't priced like he's in a near-perfect matchup with great projected positive game script. Actually, Barkley's at his cheapest price tag since week one of 2024. So this is the second cheapest he's ever been as an Eagle.
Moving on with our guy, Jake Tribby of fantasypoints.com. He's on the X machine at Jake Tribby. Well, it's what I call a start 'em if you got 'em game in terms of straight up fantasy. It's a double revenge game at quarterback as Detroit goes to LA to take on the Rams. Rams have been, you know, a little bit more of an inside funnel this year, but look, Jared Goff is probably going to have to throw it 35 plus times. And when he does, good things usually happen with Jameson Williams. You like him at 6,100?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an elite game environment. We've got a 55.5-point total in this one. Also, Detroit Lions are underdogs here by about 6 points. It's also a strong matchup for Jameson Williams. The Rams are a perimeter funnel, allowing the fourth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to outside wide receivers, but the seventh fewest to the slot over the last 5 weeks. Williams has run 81% of his routes from the outside since week 10, and Williams has exceeded his usage-based expectation by plus 2.8 fantasy points per game this season. That would be third most among 79 qualifying players with at least 50 targets. So, you know, there's always a great chance with Jameson Williams at a hyper efficient outing. And I mean, like you said, John, this is just a game environment that we really want to target. Anyone who's projecting for decent volume in this game is gonna look like a pretty great play this week.
You don't have anyone on the Monday night slate here because it's DFS. That's kind of almost a separate entity. But FYI, breaking news out of the National Football League as it relates to the Pittsburgh Steelers. My guy, Adam Schefter, friend of the program, has just tweeted out that standout TJ Watt underwent surgery Thursday to repair a partially collapsed lung suffered on Wednesday. As his brother reported, TJ expected to be discharged from the hospital today, but unlikely to play Monday night up against the Dolphins. So that is a ray of hope for Tua Tagovailoa. Their run defense has actually been slipping big time as well. And certainly that will help Devon Achane's chances. But let's get back to the task at hand. And spoiler alert, the player on both of our lists, and we did not discuss at all, Shamir DK, which is ironic because you like him on DK. 4,300. What do you see there with DK?
Yeah, he's earned at least 13.4 DraftKings points in two of his last three games, and he draws a top two on paper slot matchup against San Francisco, where he runs 71% of his routes. The schematic matchup here is also favorable. DK has been targeted 21% more often on a per route basis when the Titans face cover four, which the 49ers deploy at the fourth highest rate. He's only 4,300 this week. There are a variety of viable punt options on DraftKings this week, but DK is easily my favorite when you're looking at wide receivers sub 4,500.
And then last but not least, back to that Lions-Rams game. You know, these Ram tight ends, man, they've got like 17 good ones. I know Higbee's currently hurt. I think Ferguson looks good, like a nice prospect, but they also went ahead and acquired Colby Parkinson last year, and he's looking pretty good lately, and you like him at 3,200. That's a tougher matchup, so I'm curious to hear your angle on Parkinson up against Detroit.
Yeah, it is a tougher matchup, but since week 10, Parkinson leads all tight ends in red zone targets. He has 10. That's two more than the next closest tight end. And while also ranking eighth in fantasy points per game, he's priced as just the tight end 20. He's only 3,200 this week on a slate where Los Angeles has a massive 30.5 point implied team total. And so when you add up that the red zone volume that he's been earning, plus the implied team total, you get really great touchdown upside for a guy who's only 3,200. And when you're playing a tight end that cheap, you only need him to fall into the end zone once to hit value.
There it is. Jake Tribby, the recos for week 15 on the X machine at Jake Tribby. Thanks a lot for the information, Jake. Good luck with all the plays. Happy holidays as well. And we'll catch up with you next week for week 16, second week of the fantasy football playoffs. And while we do have a moment, we have the final segment, which is forthcoming, where I will pop out 10 plays, including a best bet. We are 10-4 on the best bets, but I do have some touchdown props I'm going to throw out. It's not National Tight End Week, but once again, I like the tight ends. So let's take a look at those. And I'll start with Mark Andrews. We all know babies being born this month know that the Bengals are the matchup for tight ends. So Mark Andrews, anytime touchdown at plus 150. It's actually a slightly better schematic matchup for Isaiah Likely, which we'll get to on the other side, spoiler alert. But I still think Mandrews can get a tutty here at plus 150. Next, we'll go Dalton Kincaid. Anytime touchdown at plus 270. Good schematic matchup against cover one and cover three, which they run 50% of the time. He's at 3.31 yards per route run. New England gives up the sixth most receptions per game to tight ends, the 11th most receiving yards per game to tight ends. Dawson Knox is hurt. Kincaid is off the injury report, and he erupted for six catches for 108 against New England in early October. Next up, got to get a love to Harold Fannin Jr. Chicago gives up the 12th most receiving yards, 7th most receptions to the position. Good schematic as well. Fannin averages a strong 1.97 yards per route run against cover 3 and cover 2, which they use 52% of the time. Chicago also gives up the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to the slot the last 5 weeks, and Fannin runs about 44% of his routes from the slot. So I'm feeling good here about Harold Fannin, especially if David Njoku cannot play. And then last but not least, how about, and yes, I am into the propaganda known as McCarthyism, J.J. McCarthyism, that is. J.J. McCarthy, anytime touchdown, he's got two on the season, at plus 425. The Cowboys give up the second most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to quarterbacks over the last 5 weeks in the running game only. So J.J., I do believe, is going to take off and run when they're in tight this week on Sunday Night Football. My official picks for Week 15 coming at you next on a Friday edition of Prop Boys right here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All righty, final segment on a Friday. Happy Friday. It's Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. We're off to a good start. 4-2 last night. Thursday night special hit at plus 550. Shout out to Sean Tucker out of Syracuse. Sometimes you're better off being lucky than good because my man only got 7 carries. Yet, maybe because of the data that I saw up against those man and gap zone concept runs, maybe that's why they had him out there for that goal line carry. That was unbelievable. So hopefully we can stay hot, and hopefully I didn't just curse myself by mentioning the good record from last night, because that seems to always happen. But probably not going to happen this week, because I am loving these picks. I'm calling my shot here. This is a 7-3 week here, 70%. Let's start with Zay Flowers. We loved the over last week, and it easily hit. We were thinking big chunk plays, and we got them. But this week, we're going under 68.5 receiving yards at minus 114 on FanDuel. It is a pretty good schematic matchup for him. He averages a strong 2.42 yards per route run and 0.25 targets per route run against cover 3 and cover 6, which they use about half the time. However, the Bengals, they're an underneath funnel, having allowed the third most receiving yards on throws within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, but the fifth fewest on the deep ball, only 32 yards a game. So I believe Flowers had 2 chunk plays of 30-plus yards last week with that great schematic. It ain't happening this week because he'll likely see shadow coverage from DJ Turner, who is an eraser. He is lights out, and he has been erasing number one receivers. The Bengals have allowed the fewest fantasy points per game to opposing number one receivers, 10.4, and that's it. Lamar is going to be throwing to the tight ends, not Zay Flowers. Next up, Wandale Robinson. I considered Theo Johnson, but this is a better schematic matchup because, you know, DC, not only are they terrible in every area, really bad inside. So Wandale should be very busy, and he should go over 56.5 receiving yards, minus 114 bet MGM. A lot of positives here. This is what I do. I stack up the positives, and when I get, like, just nothing but positives, we'll go for the play. Top 5 total of the week, 47.5. We should see some action. DC underneath funnel, allowing the fourth most receiving yards on throws within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Certainly works well with Wandale Robinson and his 8.4 ADOT. They give up, do the Commanders, the third most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to slot receivers. It's worth a plus 3.1 fantasy point boost, which could be 30 yards. They also give up the most receiving yards and the most yards per route run to wideouts in the slot. Wandale last week, a 100% route share. This guy is an Iron Man. He only got 6 for 55 against them in the season opener, but that's very close to this prop right here. And that was with Russ Wilson, who stinks. Jackson Dart is an upgrade, so looking good here. Good schematic matchup, as I mentioned. He's at over 2 yards per route run. Next up, I got to tell you, I absolutely love this one. Shamir DK, over 29.5 receiving yards. That's minus 114 on FanDuel. Once again, we're just stacking positives. 49ers, a top 5 pass funnel by pass rate over expectation. This game actually has a solid total of 44.5. So we should get some action. DK is coming off season highs in target share and expected fantasy points. Dude had like a 30% target share last week. He has been targeted a 21% more often on a per route basis when the Titans face cover 4, which the Niners run at a top 4 rate. They have allowed to have the Niners the third most receiving yards, the fourth highest passer rating, and the second most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to the slot. this year. DK runs 71% of his routes from the aforementioned slot. The icing on the cake is the lack of pass rush for the 49ers, who rank dead last in pressure rate and pressure rate over expectation. DK's targets per route run grows from just 0.09 when Cam Ward has been pressured to 0.25 when he's been kept clean. That is a 183% boost. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Niners are 12.5-point favorites with the second best implied total. So the Titans should be playing from behind, throwing it quite a bit. Travion Henderson will take advantage of a low number, 45.5 minus 108 on DraftKings. The Bills are the NFL's most extreme run funnel by pass rate over expectation. They have allowed the third most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing runners, ninth most adjusted yards before contact, sixth most rushing yards per game at 109. Now, Ramondre led Henderson last week in snap share, but the carry share was close, really close, 41-38. Henderson got all three of the backfield carries inside the 10. So he's not even remotely close to being like in Chateau Bow Wow or anything like that. And most importantly, it's a great schematic matchup for him. 62% of his runs have come on man and gap concept runs, second most in the league, against which the Bills allow the second most yards per carry, 5.1. So we might even need just nine carries or something, like rip off a longer run. Next up, speaking of ripping off longer runs, Travis Etienne. First time I'm in on ETN, but the positives are so strong that I got to go there. Over 71.5 rushing yards at minus 115 on BetMGM. Jags have a top five implied total. They are 12.5 favorites against the Jets. That bodes well for ETN, who sees a 93% boost to his fantasy points per snap when leading up against a Jets defense that ranks top five as a run funnel. They have surrendered the sixth most rushing yards per game, second most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs since trading Quinyon Williams. We mentioned the explosive run rate last week with that Achane prop. So, look, they gave up 31 carries for 199 and two touchdowns. And Bashaul Tuten, he is, in fact, likely in Chateau Bow Wow. He lost a fumble last week, and that was it. We didn't see from him again. Chris Olave, love this one, 58.5. Panthers run cover three at the third highest rate. Olave averages a very strong 2.48 yards per route run against the coverage. He sees a 15% target per route run boost and a 37% yard per route run boost. He set season highs in receiving yards in this matchup in week 10. I believe we liked him in this one. I think we played it. He had 104 yards. Just unbelievable. Tyler Shuck, that was his second start, and he did well. Speaking of Shuck, Olave's targets per route run grows significantly when Shuck is kept clean, which is notable because the Panthers have the second lowest pressure rate in football. He got 5 for 104 with a touchdown, so I do believe we'll get to 59 yards. I also believe that Isaiah Likely will get it done, as he did in the first matchup a couple of weeks ago, 37.5. We all know the Bengals are the worst matchup. In fact, one of the worst teams ever against the tight end, as evidenced by Isaiah Likely getting 5 grabs for 95. It is a better schematic matchup than it is for Mark Andrews. We're also going to go over under on Rain Dakota Prescott, under 265. The Vikings run the highest rate of two high safeties. Dak averages a weaker 6.59 YPA against the shell. Minnesota allows the fourth fewest passing yards, sixth fewest passing touchdowns. They have not allowed a quarterback to account for a touchdown in four straight games. And that's why they're giving up the fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to quarterbacks in the passing game only, -8 fantasy points. So I think they'll run the ball a lot. And I also think Aaron Jones over 14.5 receiving yards per game. I love this one. The Cowboys allow the second most receiving yards per game. Jahmyr Gibbs just got him for 7 grabs for 77. And we love that prop last week. Final reminder to hang with us here for Money Moves, Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. Mike Palm checks in from Circa Sports and more. But I got to pop out the best bet of the week. We are 10-4 on best bets, and it is Nico Collins over 74.5 receiving yards. Great schematic matchup. The Cardinals run cover four at the highest rate. Collins gets an 18% boost to his targets per route run. He averages 3.55 yards per route run. The Cardinals have generated the NFL's fourth lowest pressure rate, which is huge for Stroud, who then targets Collins much more. So I feel very good about this one. We're going to get a big play to Nico Collins, and he's going to get at least 75 receiving yards in week 15. That is the show. We thank Michael Cohen for producing all week. We thank you for tuning in. Good luck with the plays in week 15. We'll catch you on Monday for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.